Bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. I am Shannon.
And I'm Alex.
And as Alex has put in our notes, we are in the end game.
We're less than a month until The Rise of Skywalker. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
Can you believe we have made it here?
No, I can't. I have three movies left in our rewatch.
I was going to say we've been friends for almost 2 years.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? We've talked literally every single day for 2 years straight. Like, this is a lot. And we also have, we've gotten so much content over the past week just with Fallen Order, and we got Disney Plus, and then a new book came out. Like, so we're gonna, this episode was gonna be all about Force Collector, but Force Collector doesn't have a whole lot, and we got so much content anyway that this is gonna kind of be our, like, catch-all of everything, but then next week will be our most important episode ever before The Rise of Skywalker, so be sure to tune in.
Yeah. We've got to do a lot of, like, preparing for this upcoming episode.
Yeah, so this is, it's a lot. It's a lot, and I hope you guys are ready for this journey that we're going to go on. It's going to be great. But yeah, so content overload. I know my brain is, like, completely fried. I can't even handle myself right now.
Yeah, I just can't believe that next episode is going to be our last one before we see The Rise of Skywalker.
I'm like, girl, we have one more episode until we're post episode 9. Like,
crazy.
I can't. Like, I still remember when we had, like, 700 days until The Rise of Skywalker, and, like, we didn't even have the novel.
And we didn't have a title.
Like, we were, like, afraid to read fan fiction that was too smutty.
We didn't even read modern AU.
No. No. And the gateway drug to modern AU was Blades Crossed. Amazing.
So great. So I need a reread.
Yeah. I mean, it's only, like, it's a two-shot. So, I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, Adam's birthday happened. We got so much content on Adam's birthday. We understand now why he's kept hidden in secret, because the mouse will snipe him.
Just like Chris Terrio. And Chris Terrio were just, like, hanging out in the bunker together.
Yeah, they're in lockdown, because if anybody asks them a question, they'll be like, so Star Wars, so Reylo? Reylo is canon? Is that what you asked me?
Like, Adam is, like, literally the Tom Holland of Star Wars. Like, he's gonna, like, spoil everything.
I mean, like, gentle, understanding, and tall. Like, I just, wow. This is, I'm so unbelievably shocked. Like, we've gotten so much, like, more footage. Like, we've gotten more clips. We've gotten, like, sound bites from Adam Driver. Articles are coming out. Empire covers. Like, y'all, Reylo is happening.
Yeah, I was talking to you this morning about it. I'm like, I don't really have a question about it happening anymore.
No. Like, I am,
I think
I'm
the
positive.
Question is more, like, how and how long will Kylo be on their side for in this movie?
Yeah,
like,
I think it's, like, when.
How early is this turn gonna happen?
Yeah.
It's, like, and, like, how and when are the questions.
Yeah, I was listening to that new Reylo podcast, Halo Reylo. And they were saying that they think it's going to happen, like, midpoint. And then he'll be on the Resistance side. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Because there needs to be enough time in the beginning to have the exposition of it all and, like, show the audience where we are and, like, also not to, like, forget everything that happened in The Last Jedi.
Yeah. I think, like, they're gonna, you know, just like the Force bond, like, they kind of had, like, their big emotional moment, like, that was about midway point, like, the hand touch.
The first, so I feel like the first Force bond was 45 minutes in.
Yeah. So I just feel like their big emotional, like, conversation, like, your, you know, like, Katara questioning Zuko, I was the first one to trust you, is going to happen, like, midpoint, hopefully.
I can't wait.
Oh, God. I'm so excited for this movie, and then, like, I'm like, we're going to get everything we wanted. Like, we already know this. But then at the same time, every time I hear that freaking music, like, I just go into, like, panic mode. So, it's fine. It's going to be great. Ready for it. If it's structured anything like Queen of Nothing, it's going to destroy me. I'm ready for it.
I'm very grateful for all this other content we're getting, because otherwise I would yes. just be a mess.
Yes, it has really helped take the focus off of all of this, because they've dropped a lot of stuff. Like, we got one new TV spot and then, like, a leaked-ish one.
And I think it was just on TV. That TV spot I think was on too. TV.
It's weird that Star Wars didn't share it, though.
Maybe some point today. By the time this podcast episode comes out, it might already be, like, publicly shared, I guess.
True. I mean, between that and, like, the EW pictures, and we've gotten a couple of things from Rolling Stone, like, we've gotten to see more of scenes that we've already seen things from.
From different angles, different...
Yeah, like, from different angles.
Which makes me nervous. Every time I see a new shot in one of these TV spots, I get nervous about it. I'm like, no, don't show me more.
All I can think of is, if they're showing us this, like, what aren't they showing us?
Yeah.
Like, they kept a secret for so long.
Oh,
what are they hiding?
Maybe let's bleep that out for... We'll get into... We'll get into spoilers for Mando later.
I'll bleep that out. Yes. But I just, so many things. So, I mean, with that, like, let's go ahead and, before we get into that, I do want to say schedule for the rest of the year. So we will have another episode out before The Rise of Skywalker. It's going to be very important. Be sure you tune into that. And then we will be covering Rise of Skywalker quite a bit. But as far as stories go, we have up until the week before Rise of Skywalker. And then we're going to take a break and we'll come back with stories in January. So if you haven't sent in your story yet, you have plenty of time. If you want to wait until after you see The Rise of Skywalker, that's totally fine as well. And as always, like, our email is lipsticklightsabers@gmail.com. At lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if a lot of you are planning on recording stuff during the holiday break, feel free to bug us and ask us questions about it. Like, we'll be happy to help you, like, walk you through it and everything.
Oh, definitely. And I found a new app, actually, from creeping on some of MC's pictures. It's a handy recorder for iPhone. I just found it in the App Store. It's really nice because it records it in a WAV format, which is what I prefer it in, or an MP3. And from that app, you can send your recording immediately as an email. So it's really easy to use, and if you have any questions about that, I've been playing with it on my phone, so that's a really easy to record yourself as well. Or you can always write your story out and send it in. We've had a couple of episodes like that recently. But with that, so we are now post Disney Plus.
How do you feel about Disney Plus?
I am more emotionally attached to High School Musical, the musical, the series, than I ever thought I was going to be.
Same. It's great. Like,
it's so good. Ricky is the babiest baby to ever baby.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have heard our episode, our High School Musical episode. It wasn't on this feed. It was on the Network 1901 feed, like, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
So we did a whole episode where we talked about High School Musical and Star Wars.
Yeah.
So we have a love for both franchises. This TV show is very meta. They are students at the high school where High School Musical was filmed, and they are putting on a production of High School Musical. So they are aware of the movie. Like, the movie is a movie in this, like, canon, basically, and they are putting on a show production of the movie.
Which, and I think that's where a lot of people got confused, because they thought that, like, this was the high school in High School Musical. And so, like, Troy and everybody, like, they were real and went to this high school. Yeah. And that's
no,
not the case.
It's not that. It's not like Glee where it's a new generation.
No, no, no.
It's like, it's like us. It's
yeah,
like very meta.
It's very reminiscent of Glee, though. Like, I would say, like, this is the spiritual successor of Glee.
Yeah, because I would say that High School Musical, the musical, the series, is that what it's called?
Yes. I love saying that, like, as fast as I can, because then people look at me and they're like, what the heck is wrong with you?
It is, I would say, aged up from the movies.
Yes.
Definitely has a Glee vibe. It has that mockumentary vibe, and it definitely has a bit of maturity to it. I'm not saying that it's not appropriate for kids, because I do think it's cool for kids to watch too, but it definitely has substance for everyone.
It's not like a DCOM.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people assumed that it was going to be like DCOM quality, and it's
not. It's more like Freeform, I would say.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's really good. We both really recommend that. I've been watching Forky Asks a Question with my mom.
I think I've seen one episode.
It's pretty funny. I wish that some things were different with it, but, like, my mom loves Forky, and it's hilarious to me how much she loves Forky. So she really likes this show.
I've been really liking the Imagineering story. I've only watched
one episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Angela Bassett narrates it, and it's about an hour every week, and it's really, really great. Lots of good interviews. Lots of new footage, stuff that we've never seen in any other footage, like documentaries before.
Yeah, I'm excited to see more of it. I haven't had a chance to, like, sit down and watch the other episodes. And then you watched The Lady and the Tramp remake.
Yeah, I watched that last night. I really liked it, actually. It was really cute.
Which is good to hear, because I was going to pass, but I might watch it now.
The thing is, it is not, like, a movie theater movie. I'm like, yes, this movie fits on the streaming service.
Good.
Like, this is, like, a good home for it, but it's not something that I would have probably enjoyed as much watching in the movie theater, but I also watched the live action Dumbo since I got Disney Plus, and I really didn't like that. So Lady and the Tramp is a lot better.
That's good. That's really good to hear, though. I'm excited to check it out. I still have reservations about it, but I trust your opinion, so
yeah,
I'm gonna give it a shot.
The mouths moving are a little weird, but is it really much weirder than watching The Jungle Book?
Well, and, like, you got me to watch The Dark Crystal, and that turned out amazing. So
yeah.
I can put aside my Why Are the Dogs So Real?
I think it's a pretty sentimental movie. It's nothing groundbreaking, but it was cute.
That's good. I think the big thing, obviously, here with Disney Plus, though, is that we have The Mandalorian, and I am a Mando stan.
What? Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? In 2019, Alex and I stan The Mandalorian and a book about Poe.
And Poe Dameron.
And we're storm pilots now. Who are we?
Let's talk about our thoughts before The Mandalorian started. Like, before we saw the first episode, what were our thoughts about this?
So, like, I think we both got excited at Celebration. I was really, like, loving what Dave Filoni was saying, but then I was also kind of turned off by the way Jon Favreau was talking about it. So I tried to go into The Mandalorian, like, cautiously, and I think because of that, like, I really liked it, but I went back into this mode of, you don't know anything about Star Wars, and it really helped me to, like, listen to other women talk about this show, and then I was like, okay, no, I do like this show. I do know things about Star Wars, and now I'm really into it.
Yeah, I mean, at Celebration, what we saw was great footage. It was filmed beautifully. It looked really high budget, but there was no indication what the tone of the show was going to be.
No. Well, and, like, when you hear, like, Western, you think, like, really masculine.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's not Mandalorian.
It is very feminine.
It is so
feminine show.
It is so feminine. It's so, like, wow, like, the feminine imagery in all of this is, it's actually very, like, feminine gaze in a lot of parts. Like, it's amazing.
And we're gonna cover the show in the new year. We're gonna wait until the whole season's done, and we're hoping to kind of approach it from a different point of view than some other shows are gonna do.
Yeah, we might do kind of like a mini series type of format, just depending on how many different things we want to talk about with it, because there is actually a lot to unpack with this show, and I've really been enjoying listening to What the Force and Sky Talkers unpack each episode, so I'm excited to get into it once we have everything together. And I do want to take a moment, so if you haven't watched The Mandalorian, and somehow you haven't been spoiled on the show, skip ahead, like, 2 minutes, because, oh my god, Baby Yoda is so freaking cute.
The cutest Star Wars character ever in all existence.
And Dad Lorian is, like, the hottest character because of it.
See, this is not what I expected from The Mandalorian.
It's not!
It being a single father in, like, space western is not what I expected.
No, it's not. And I mean, apparently, like, this is a pretty, like, common thing to do, but I just never thought that this is where we would go.
Well, I had heard that, was it Tracy Canobio who recommended people watch Lone Wolf and Cub, like, before Mandalorian even came out? So, but no one really was talking about, like, oh, like, do you think there's going to be a baby?
I mean, I remember, like, I want to say it was actually Marie Claire from What the Force who said that, like, she thought the asset was going to be a baby. But I'm not sure. I just know that somebody had that theory.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people thought that it may have been a baby Hutt instead.
Well.
No one saw the Baby Yoda coming.
No, I don't think anybody saw that coming. And it's so cute. I have so many questions. Hashtag best dad. Why aren't you babysitting Ben Solo?
best plot twist of 2019.
Yeah. And the show only gets better and better. And I'm really excited to see where it's going to go. Because it's going to, like, the second to last episode comes out, like, right before episode 9. And I'm like, what's going to happen?
So this episode comes out on Tuesday, and we're going to get the midpoint, like the mid-season episode in 3 days from now, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think shit's going to go down. Oh, and Kara will finally be in it, too.
Yeah, because this is Bryce Dallas Howard's episode, and from what we've heard, Kara's first episode is with her.
Yeah, or at least that Bryce is the director she worked with the most, because that's what she talked a lot about. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. I can't believe 2019, this is where we're at. It's so good.
We won't get into Mandalorian too much right now, but I'm so invested.
I'm very, very, very invested. So before we get into the big thing that we want to talk about, because we also got Jedi Fallen Order out this week, which we both absolutely loved, we do want to talk about Force Collector, which is the newest and the last Rise of Skywalker, Road to Rise of Skywalker novel to come out before the movie. And both of us, this was our most anticipated book. And we were fools. Absolute fools. Let me pull this book out so I can do the summary. All right, so Force Collector by Kevin Shinnick, which I believe he's also written for, like,
Robot Chicken,
yeah.
And Star Wars Detours. That never saw the light of day, but he was on the writing team for that.
All right, but this says, Carr is a teenage boy like many others in the galaxy. He goes to school, helps his parents with the family business, like speeders and droids, but Carr also has a secret. When he touches certain objects, he gets searing headaches and blackouts. And sometimes, along with the pain, come visions of people he doesn't know in places he's never been. Carr's parents worry that he's sick. However, his grandmother is convinced the visions come from the Force, but it's been years since anyone has heard from the last of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker. Are there any Jedi left to guide Carr in the use of his abilities? Is anyone even willing to talk about the Jedi and what happened to them as their memory fades and the First Order rises? When his grandmother dies and his parents announce they're sending him to school on the other side of the planet, Carr reaches his breaking point. He needs to know what his destiny holds. Accompanied by Maisie, the blunt, unpredictable new girl at school, and RZ7, Carr's solicitous droid companion, he sets off into the larger galaxy to find the truth. His adventures will take him from Utapau to Jakku to Tokadana and beyond as he learns more about the Jedi than he could have expected, and about his own place in the Force. So, spoiler-free thoughts. I do want to say, so you got to read this book before
I got it a week and a half early.
Yeah, you got it early.
I was very excited. That excitement soon wore off because I came to realize that the book was definitely not the demographic that we thought it was going to be.
Right.
It's sold as YA, but it definitely reads like middle grade. Like Alex from Star Wars Explained said, it's basically written like middle grade, but twice the length of a middle grade book.
Yeah, and I think, you know, me getting your reaction helped me temper my expectations. So, like, I kind of went in knowing that it was not going to be what I thought it was going to be, which I think helped, which is probably also why I ranked it just a little bit higher than you. But I will say, I think Star Wars has a big problem when it comes to how they categorize their books. Because for Star Wars, they have middle grade, YA, and adult, but their middle grade books are chapter books, and those are not novels. Like, Percy yeah. Jackson is a middle grade novel, not a chapter book. This is a lot more like a Percy Jackson or like early Harry mm-hmm. Potter, School for Good and Evil. I mean, those are kind of bad examples because those are better than this book, but they read similarly. And I wish that they would categorize it this way instead of saying that this is low YA, because that's not really a thing.
Mm-hmm. Because then I would also say like Resistance Reborn read like YA to me.
It did, yeah. It read a lot more, like, Resistance Reborn is not in the same category as Lost Stars, but Force Collector is, and that doesn't make mm-hmm. any sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, problem number one, is that it's just marketed wrong. And my second issue with this book is that it's a Journey to Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker novel. There is nothing in this book that you need going into...
Nothing.
This movie. No. You don't need to read this book at all.
They do go to a planet that is going to be featured
in, but it doesn't matter.
But it does not matter. There is nothing we learn there that is going to affect anything.
Because, like, I started thinking, because, like, you mentioned that they go to a lot of different planets in this book. One of them is Kijimi. I don't think that's really a spoiler to say. Which they go to in The Rise of Skywalker. So, like, when I heard this, I'm like, oh, it's going to be like Leia, Princess of Alderaan, where they introduce Krayt. It's nothing like that.
No.
They could have been anywhere.
I didn't get a sense of, like, the surroundings at all.
Yeah. So it was just kind of... The main reason that, like, I think we both feel so down about this book, because it's not that it's bad, it's just that it's really disappointing.
It's been a theme this year.
It has been. It really has been. It's. There were so many missed opportunities with this. Like, I don't know why there wasn't a tie-in with the Gatherers from Galaxy's Edge. I don't know why.
I thought for sure Lor San Tekka was going to show up.
The Gatherers. Yeah, why would you go to Jakku looking for, you know, Force connections and not put Lor San Tekka in your book? I don't understand.
And then also to say at Celebration that, oh, this book is also part of, like, the Galaxy Edge books.
And I mean...
like, it didn't even matter.
I mean, I guess he, you know, Doc Ondar is in this book, but, like...
barely. Not for very long.
It doesn't really matter.
It could have been anyone. It could have been anyone.
It really could have been anyone. It's, at the end of the day, like, it's very heavy-handed. The references are so on the nose and so in your face. It's just disappointing. It's very disappointing. To talk spoilers a little bit, so he goes to different planets to touch things so that he can figure out what happened to the Jedi. And what is interesting in this book is that it takes place a year before The Force Awakens, and history is written by the winners, not by people who want to preserve the truth. So there's a lot of mystery around what actually happened to the Jedi, and Order 66 has been completely omitted. So basically what Carr is finding out is he's learning about Order 66. And, like, that's really cool. But, like, he goes and, like, touches, like, the training ball on the Falcon and, like, 3PO's arm.
Yeah, the first reference we get is Chirrut's staff is in his closet.
Which, how did he get that?
I don't know how he got that, but that was the first reference. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, that's cool. Like, oh, like, awesome. And then it just kept happening.
Yeah, it just didn't stop.
Oh, okay. This is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then, so 3PO's arm, he gets it from Doc Ondor to give to Maz. When he gives it to Maz, he still doesn't know what this gift for Maz is. So then she shows it to him, and it's his missing arm. I'm like, how did Doc Ondor get this thing?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so that's why 3PO has a red arm in The Force Awakens, but, like, how did he lose this arm? How did Doc Ondor get it? Why does he send it to Maz? Like, I don't understand.
And then, so, the one thing about this whole arm section of the book is I do think that it is foreshadowing some of Episode 9 a little bit, because I do think that 3PO's memories are going to be a huge tool for everyone in Episode 9.
Yes.
So I think that Maz, like, literally saying, like, you know, this droid has seen it all, is really telling the audience, like, us, like, don't forget, this droid has been here the entire time. He's going to be important.
Yeah. Which I do think, you know, for, like, a middle grade book, like, that is not, like, it makes sense that you would put that kind of foreshadowing in there. I wish that they could have gone a little bit more into it. You don't spend a lot of time on any of these planets, and everybody kind of says about the same thing, and then you move on. And I just wish that, like, we could have gotten a little bit more character development. Like, Carr finds out that, like, his great-grandfather was a Jedi, and then, like, he sees this vision and he thinks he's gonna turn dark, and it all happens so quickly that, like, you just don't feel anything about it because you know that it's gonna be fine. So it's just weird. It was a weird read. Yeah. And it's not very memorable.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the whole thing that Kevin Shinnick, like, wrote in the book and then it had to be omitted?
No.
So, I was listening to our friend's podcast, Brad from Friends of the Force, and he had Kevin Shinnick on interviewing him, and Kevin was saying that he wrote this whole entire section of the book that Lucasfilm made him take out because they told him that he unintentionally wrote part of Episode 9.
Oh.
Yeah. So he had to rework his book a little bit because of that.
Huh. That's really weird, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel so weird about this book. But I will say, yeah, it's not a bad read. And in fact, it reads very quickly. Like, I finished this book so... I've read this book faster than I ever have read another book. I don't know how that happened. It just read very quickly. And, like, honestly, it wasn't horrible. I have a hard time figuring out who exactly this book is for. But... And like, I feel like there's different ways that this book could have gone, but I wouldn't say that it's, like, a bad book and you should never, ever read it. Like, it's just not one that's necessarily necessary.
I've been telling people it's a library kind of book, not a book.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even, like, audio. I'd be interested to hear, like, how the audiobook turns out. Although I will say, it's a gorgeous book. Without the dust jacket, it's this really beautiful blue color and has the Jedi Order emblem on the front and the new Sith emblem on the back. It's very pretty. But is that worth the buy? I don't know. I guess it depends on the type of book hoarder you are. Is there anything else you want to say about this book?
I don't think so. I made some notes, but that was for when we were still planning on doing a whole episode on it. But there's...
Yeah, I was like the same. I was trying to like grasp at straws. Yeah. Yeah, it's... There are some interesting little tidbits here, but ultimately, if they're going to be explored, they're going to be explored in other books that will probably give us everything we need. There's really nothing to get out of this.
So should we get into our rankings?
Yes, let's talk about our rankings.
A few months ago, was it in July, just before Thrawn came out, I think? We both made a list of our most anticipated books coming up to The Rise of Skywalker, and now we have ranked them again. So Thrawn Treason was the first to come out, and we put it as our last most anticipated, so number 6, and we both ranked it number 6. How do you feel about that?
I think that is very, that is very true. I'll also say that I don't remember when Alphabet Squadron came out, but...
It was before this.
It was before this? Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know where I would rank it with any of these books anyway, because, God, that book was hard to read.
Yeah, I would say, lower middle?
Yeah, above Thrawn, but, not that much above Thrawn. So the next book that came out was Crash of Fate, and we differed wildly on this.
So I had it as my 5th most anticipated, and you had it as 3rd, and your ranking stayed the same.
Yeah, it's still 3rd for me.
And it ranked 2nd for me. It, really jumped. Even though I kind of, didn't like it at the time, I feel like there were so many bad books this year that it ended up, 2 as, consolation.
Yeah, that's really, indicative of just, how disappointing the books were in this later half of the year. I kept it as 3. Yeah. The fluffiness, it's not my cup of tea, but it is it's a good read.
And,
I could read it again.
And I was gonna say, I think it's, rereadable in a sense of, I'm going to go to Galaxy's Edge. My trip's really soon, so I want to, get in the spirit. So I'm going to reread Crash of Fate. I do think there's some, rereadable factors to that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and it's a really quick read. So, that's very possible. The next one that came out was Black Spire. And I'm very angry at Black Spire. Yeah. That probably resulted in me being harsher on it than is warranted, but yeah.
So initially I ranked it 3rd and you ranked it 4th for anticipation, and then I ranked it 4th and you ranked it 5th for final ranking. Now, so Andy from Rail Alliance asked me when I finished Force Collector, she said, now, is it worse or better than Force Collector? And that's a tough question, because I think that when I was enjoying Black Spire, it was way better than Force Collector. But then when Black Spire hit that wall that we all didn't like, it became worse. So it's a bit of a toss up there for me.
It's there's so much emotion tied into this for me, because it's I feel like I was done dirty by this book, because the beginning of it, man, is it good. I was oh, man, this is best book of the year. It's great. And then, it kind of hits a plateau, it plateaus, and then it just slams into this wall, and it's all of a sudden just really bad. And I really hate the direction that she took this book. I hate what I feel is being implied by the direction that she took this book. And honestly, it's just really, really frustrating. And I feel so weird about it. It's the same way that I feel about the Wonder Woman book. But it just, it's really unfortunate. It's just really unfortunate. So next was Spark of the Resistance. And both of us had this pretty low. You had it as 4 and I had it as 5. And due to circumstances, this book ended up being ranked fairly highly for both of us.
Yeah. Another consolation, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, this ended up being your three and my two.
Yeah, I think, though, that this did read like middle grade, and though it didn't get into the heads as of the characters as much as we wanted it to, it's still, like, it did its job. It served its purpose.
Yeah, and, like, it's short, and, you know, it was characters that we already like, and exactly, like, it was just, it is what it is. But it's a chapter book. It's not a middle grade novel. Like, Force Collector is a middle grade novel. And I just wish that it could be categorized a little bit better. But I also, like, I just love Justina Ireland. And I think from this book, I would really love it if they could let her do some YA. Because I really like the way that she grasps the characters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if she could write, like, the Rose novel, if we get one, that would be great.
That would be so great.
Mm-hmm. Let's skip our number one, which is already obvious now. But Force Collector obviously came out last. We both had this ranked as our number one. We are Boo Boo the Fool. you ranked this as number five, and I put it as number four, is what it is.
Yeah. This has been the theme for books this year.
Yeah. But that leaves our number one as Resistance Reborn. We both had this as number two, and I think it's because we didn't dare to hope that it would be as good as it was.
Yeah, Resistance Reborn is one of the best Star Wars books.
It's amazing.
In my opinion,
love it.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. It's so good. Like, Leia, Rey, Poe, where Poe stands now, yeah. Storm Pilot, it's great. If you haven't listened to our episode, go listen to it.
Mm-hmm. I have seen some complaints about it tying into too much other material. But
which I totally get.
I don't feel that way. I like all the connecting it does. I think it does it a lot less heavy-handed as Force Collector.
Yes. And I think it's easier to follow than, like, Aftermath. Because Aftermath has a lot of connective tissue as well. But it's too, like, mind-bending. Like, I can't...
Yeah.
You have to know, like, obscure things for it to matter. Mm-hmm. And it's more frustrating than anything. Whereas, like, with Resistance Reborn, like, it's a direct, like, this character is from this book. So, like, you'll go and read it and, like, that kind of stuff. I am interested to know, like, if anybody read this without having read anything that's connected to it, how it reads. But I still think it's great.
And you know what else we discovered this week? That Resistance Reborn had a connection to something else that came out recently.
That's right. And that is a perfect segue for us to talk about our final thing this week. And that is the big dog, Jedi Fallen Order.
Who would have thought this was the big dog?
Who would have thought? Wow. Wow. So I do want to say that, so Alex played the game. You played it on PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And then I watched a video. It's like almost 4 hours long, but it's all of the cutscenes and then any of the gameplay scenes that have important dialogue. I'm going to link it in the description. So if you haven't had a chance to experience this game, we both really encourage you to do so. And there are going to be spoilers, but we're going to warn you when we actually start to get into the spoilers. But it's amazing. Like, I think like this is like some of the best Star Wars ever.
I think this is must experience Star Wars.
Yeah. It's really good.
Sleep on it.
Do not.
It, because even if you don't have a console, it's still really accessible. There's plenty of walkthroughs and like you said, this video that you have that's almost 4 hours, it has all the important stuff in there.
Yeah, and it watches like It really does watch like a movie, because like I watched the cutscenes for Battlefront 2 as well, and with Battlefront 2, I almost feel like there's too much, like it lasts over such a long amount of time, and with Jedi Fallen Order, it feels so much more focused, and I just really like it. Like Aiden was done really dirty by Battlefront, but Cal Kestis is a baby.
I think, though, the problem with Battlefront is that they went in saying, okay, we're going to add this bonus 7-hour story mode, but the heart of Battlefront 2 is its online gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's hard for me. I don't like pitting them against each other because they're very different, and clearly Aiden just didn't get as much love as Cal did.
They're not the same type of game. Yeah. Like, you know, Battlefront is very, like, first-person shooter, whereas Jedi Fallen Order, to me, looked a lot more like an Uncharted game. Like, would you say it kind of plays like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I'm not a gamer at all, but...
Alex is our pro gamer and our comic reader.
the comic reader and the pro gamer. Have to laugh. From what I understand in the gaming world, Fallen Order is kind of a pick-all best of different kinds of story games. They're pulling different puzzle-making from this kind of game and the controls from this game and just kind of, like, picking the best of.
Yeah. So, as a game, what did you think? Like, how was the experience?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. So, I played on easy because, like I said, I am not a gamer. I think, though, that I could have played it on, like, regular because I didn't find I had much trouble on easy. I was able to defeat all the villains without dying, so it was all good. The puzzles were really fun. I love puzzles and stuff like that, so I really enjoyed trying to figure out those tomb puzzles. Cal is a precious baby. as you're playing this game, you just want the best for your child.
It's true. It's very true. So that, I mean, like, that's really good, because I know that you were worried that the gameplay was going to be too hard. So that's good to know.
No, I think I had more of a hard time on Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it is a different beast. Like, I feel like I, with my limited button mashing skills, could maybe get by with Jedi Fallen Order, but, like, first-person shooters are, like, not for me.
No, I'm very proud of myself. I figured out, like, control combos for my different attacks by the end of
The
end of all, like, 30 hours of it, I was like, I knew the combos I needed to use. It was great.
That's
I
good.
Feel like a
That's
real
good.
Gamer now.
Yeah, see, like, I've never been able to do that. I can solve puzzles. I cannot fight.
I think I was just button smashing playing Battlefront 2, so.
There you go.
And so my boyfriend was like, oh, like, if this game takes a regular gamer, like, 25 hours, it's going to take you, like, twice that time. But you know what? No, I think I finished it in about the same amount of time just because I was playing on easy.
You finished it, like, within the weekend.
Yeah, but I was playing, like, nonstop.
That is true. That's, like, all you did was play this game.
Well, I did that on purpose because I knew how much content was going to be coming, and I'm like, I need to get this game out of the way. Even though I enjoyed this game so much, and it's not something that you should want to get out of the way, but I was just like, there's so much coming. I gotta finish this game, but I think I'll revisit it eventually.
Yeah, well, it seems like there's, like, lots of other things that you can kind of go and explore. Like, I noticed, like, you could revisit other planets and, like, raid certain ships.
Mm-hmm. And I'm 100% gonna, like, pick up DLC if that happens.
Yeah. I hope it does.
100%.
Like, there's so much story to tell here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the actual story of this game. So what is happening in Jedi Fallen Order?
Are we going spoiler warning, or are we just briefly touching?
Let's talk about what this game is about, and we'll get into spoilers a little bit later.
Okay, so this game follows Order 66. I want to say, how many years do you think it's after Order 66?
I think it's 5 because Cal says that ship had been there for 5 years.
Okay, so about 5 years after Order 66, Cal is basically a Jedi Padawan on the run. He escaped Order 66 like Kanan, and now he is living in hiding and basically suppressing his Jedi, like, Force abilities. So, obviously, this whole story brings him back into the fight, basically. and he is being hunted.
Yes. I thought that this was really intriguing. So a lot of people seem to be like, well, this is just a Kanan story or blah, blah, blah. But it's really not. Like,
no.
Cal really feels like his own character. Like, he's a type of character that, like, he fits so well in Star Wars, but he also seems very new. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if we've seen a Jedi with this personality.
Yeah, like, he's very, very baby. He's so baby. Cal Kestis is adorable, and I love him. And I love the way
so much.
What is his actor's name? Cameron?
Cameron Monaghan.
Yes, I love the way he talks about Cal. It's really great. And, like, he's hiding from, like, everybody. He's hiding from the Empire because he is a Jedi on the run. And I do like that this game shows that he's not the only one that's hiding. Like, you kind of have to think about it. Like, the Jedi were kind of all spread out. So it does make sense that there would be maybe one or two that would have gotten away as well. But his, like, connection to the Force has been damaged because he's so traumatized by what happened to him in Order 66. And to get back into this fight and to find a purpose and to find a family is, like, really the heart of this story.
Yeah. It's a heart of a lot of Star Wars, finding a family.
Yeah, it felt very reminiscent of Rebels to me, like, the way that this crew is kind of, like, a mishmash of people from across the galaxy and how they, like, come together. I really enjoyed that. You get to go to a lot of different planets, some that are familiar, some that aren't. You do get to meet some characters that are familiar and a lot of different new ones. Alex and I definitely have a new ship. We have new faves. It's really, really great. If any of this has sound enticing to you, please go check this game out. But now we are going to talk about spoilers. And I don't even know where to start with the spoilers.
Well, I think that's why I listed relationships, because I think that relationships are the center of this game.
They are.
They're, like, just the relationships among different characters and, like, kind of the Venn diagram where they overlap all the friendships and, like, relationships going on.
Well, there's so many.
So good.
There's so many different master-apprentice relationships in this book. Not in this book, in this game. Yeah, I'm geared towards books.
But you're saying that books, but, like, this game plays like a really character-driven book.
It really does, though. Like, I would love nothing more than for Christy Golden to come back and write something from this. Like, I really need
100%.
It.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, if you don't know Christy Golden, she wrote the Inferno Squad novel, and she wrote the Dark Disciple, which has been Triss and Voss. So
two of the best books.
Two of the best books, honestly. And to be perfectly honest, Ventress and Voss are kind of reminiscent of a ship in this story. So, you know.
True.
But yeah, like, with the relationship, so we have Cal's relationship with his master, Jarrow. And Jarrow is a Lasat, which is really cool.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. And he witnesses Order 66 when he's a Padawan, and he feels responsible for his master's death because he thinks he was a coward in running. He sees his master die for him, and he is given his lightsaber. Yeah. And, like, that's very heavy.
I want to take a pause and go into Jarrow a bit, because there's plenty of times in this game where you get flashbacks to Jarrow teaching you. So it's within gameplay where he's teaching you skills, basically, in the Jedi Temple. And that is how you acquire new skills within the game, like, within, like, your controllers and everything. You're learning the Force all over again, and every time you learn something new, basically, you have a flashback, and that's how you remember how to do something.
Which is a really cool game mechanic. I like that a lot.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. I also really like that Cal seeing like Jarrow like fighting and the way he dies in Order 66 is mirrored later on in the game. And like they don't even have to say anything. It just immediately you're like, "Oh my god, this poor baby."
It was Okay, we'll get into that. Do you want to start a little lighter first and work up to the heavier moments?
Yeah, we can start a little lighter. So basically, the way that this game starts off is that Cal is hiding out on this shipyard planet. Do you remember the name of it?
Bracca.
Bracca, yeah. Which they go to in Resistance Reborn, which is very cool. Obviously, they're separated by a lot of time. But still, I still love that they tied that in. But while he's on this planet, he, on instinct, saves his friend with the Force. And Inquisitors come and he has to fight them. And that's where the second sister comes in. We have the ninth sister as well. But he's rescued by somebody named Seer, who is a former Jedi. And I did not trust Seer for a very long time.
She is also one of my new favorite characters, though.
She's really interesting. And they have a very Luke and Rey type of relationship, you'd say, right?
It mirrors The Last Jedi, Luke and Rey, so much.
Yeah, it really is kind of a gender-bent sequel trilogy in a lot of ways. So if anybody tells you that Jedi Fallen Order is better than the sequel trilogy, they're being sexist because it's just gender-bent.
So Seer saves him from the second sister. It's Seer and... crap, what's his name?
Grease.
Grease. Yes, Grease is the pilot of the Mantis, which is the ship that they travel in. And when they're saving them, the second sister jumps onto the, like, windshield of the ship and is just, like, waving there. And I, like, couldn't help but laugh. It looked kind of ridiculous, but it was crazy because she just kind of, like, latched on.
She's so extra. She could be a Skywalker for how extra she is.
Yeah, no, oh, 100%. And I was going to say, something weird about this game is that there's a lot of, like, insect imagery. And her just jumping onto the windshield like that kind of just reminds me of, like, being, like, a bug, like, on, like just, like, on, like, your, like, car.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've never really talked about bugs or anything with Star Wars, but we go to a lot of very lush planets. And, you know, obviously this new ship is called the Mantis. So it's just kind of interesting that that's the direction that they went.
Yeah. So, like, their ship is called the Mantis, and it's, like, kind of shaped like an insect. And you didn't see as much gameplay, but I think every planet, maybe not on Ilum, but every other planet had some sort of insect that would attack you.
That's an interesting, like, thing to have, because that's a choice, you know?
Yeah. And, like, what I was thinking about is, like, okay, what are they trying to say with this? The thing with insects is they shed exoskeletons, right? And it really, like, got me thinking, like, this whole game is about Cal shedding that, like, protective barrier he's made up for himself and, like, becoming like, new again. Like, rebirthing himself.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's not just him, because it's also Seer. And to get into it, you know, Seer was a Jedi, and she has now cut herself off from the Force because she was taken prisoner, she was interrogated, and she saw her Padawan being twisted in such a way that made her lash out and use the dark side. And she was so ashamed that she just completely cut herself off, which that's exactly what happened to Luke Skywalker, basically.
And she used the dark side.
Yeah.
And I would say that Luke did in that moment at the temple.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And, I mean, it goes even deeper because her Padawan is revealed to be the second sister who is hunting you in this game.
And her name is Trilla.
And her name is Trilla. And, oh, man, the way that she talks about, like, she ends up, like, talking to Cal in these, like, interesting type of ways. Like, they're kind of like a force bond, but they're not.
They don't have a force bond, but the way they had them communicating was very clever, like a force bond, in the way that it would force them to talk to each other without attacking each other.
Exactly, yes. And, like, she would talk about how, like, she is what her master made her. Like, this happened to her because her master, like, gave in. Like, she was tortured into becoming an Inquisitor, and that adds so many layers to the Inquisitors,
yes.
Like, in general. Like, these were Force users that were twisted by the Empire.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's almost, like, God. The whole, like, mind-scraping thing that we've been hearing about Stormtroopers.
Well, and it makes me think of Ben. Like, he is a Force user who gets manipulated and twisted to hunt down the last of the Jedi, which is what the Inquisitors are doing. Like, oh man, Trilla's backstory is very tragic, and she does get to reconcile and speak with Seer towards the end mm-hmm. of the game, and I think that was one of the most emotional moments.
Yeah. She said, I hated you for a long time.
Yeah.
But at that moment, you know that she doesn't hate her anymore.
Yeah. And she is redeemed in the end. That doesn't last very long. But it does. Yeah. When I was reading up about this game, like, she was in that moment redeemed. Like, she was forgiven. And she, you know, Seer had to confront the past in order to help Cal and redeem and be there for her fallen Padawan. Cal had to confront the past in order to reestablish his connection with the Force. And Trilla had to confront the past to not only, like, forgive her master, but, like, forgive herself for what has happened to her. And, like, if that's not nine, I don't know what is.
And I want to say that, again, on Friends of the Force, Brad had the actress who plays Trilla on, and she did a whole interview talking about her experience and how she relates to the Second Sister and what was her mind space when she was acting. And it is a great interview, and it is, she gets Star Wars. This actress, like, totally gets it. Yeah. And it's just great to know that she was coming from that place and projecting it into this role.
Yeah, I think that's, you could say that for a lot of the characters, because Cameron definitely speaks to that when he was trying to be Cal as well. And I just love knowing that, like, so much care went into this story, like, so much mm-hmm. intent. And that's what makes Star Wars so good, is that, like, everybody cares so deeply about the story that they're telling. Yeah,
I don't think I was expecting this story to be what it is.
No, I wasn't expecting it to have so many feels. Like, we had theorized for a long time that, like, this was going to be, like, enemies to lovers story. And that, you know, something was going to happen. Because, like, obviously, like, the Reylo imagery is there. And visually, the Second Sister is, like, Kylo Ren. And I will say, we were not necessarily fools.
Which was crazy, because as soon as I got to a certain part in the game, I just started, like, caps lock tweeting, like, texting you saying, I don't think we were fools.
And we weren't, okay?
So I was going to say, I think a lot of us going into this game were expecting to come out of it really, really shipping the Second Sister and Cal. And to a certain point in the game, I was on board with that. Until another character showed up.
Yes. Yes. So, you get to go to Dathomir.
To Dathomir.
And if you've watched The Clone Wars, you'll know that, you know, all of the Night Sisters pretty much were massacred. But, except for one. And her name is Maren. And I love her. And I want to be her. I already have an outfit for her. She's everything to me.
Were you expecting this?
Like, no.
To Dathomir?
No. I wasn't.
So, basically, Cal is baby, and she is cat with knife.
Yes. So, we had theorized, we were like, what if Jedi Fallen Order is Serpent and Dove, but Star Wars? And,
it is.
And it is.
She's a witch.
Because she's a witch, and Cal is a knight. and he's a baby and a bottom.
He's a dove. He's a dove.
Oh, he's a dove and she's a serpent. And we weren't fools. I can't believe we weren't fools. We were right.
They 100% could go, Chrissy Golden, get in here, write this romance.
Oh, there could be an amazing Cal and Marin book. So she's on Dathomir, and she's kind of been manipulated by another Force user who is there.
Mm-hmm. Malikos.
Yeah. How do you say it?
Malikos?
Whatever. Close enough. He has high-waisted pants and scars and,
weird
imagery. But it's another kind of Ben Solo parallel, because he is trying to, woo Cal over to his side, let the past die, embrace the dark side, and he's, manipulated Marin into thinking that, and Marin comes around and ends up helping Cal and joining the crew of the Mantis, which is amazing, because she has a dry sense of humor. And
so dry.
Oh, man. They are that meme where it's like, someone will die of fun. that's them.
I was also going to say, we haven't talked about Dark Union on our podcast, but our friend MC has on What the Force. And, the whole Malikos Mara thing is so Dark Union.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
It's, wow. And there's so much potential here for, maybe they'll go back to Dathomir, later on, maybe to, help restore her homeland, because, it's really fallen into ruin, her people are gone. There's so much potential here for more stories, and she's so fascinating, she's so interesting, and I can't believe that the story gave us, not just Trilla and, unmasking Ben Solo parallels, really tragic backstory, but then also Marin, who's a Night Sister, and it's great.
I know Cal's gonna be, the consort to, Queen Night Sister.
Oh, God. Can you believe?
No.
You know what this is?
It's so good.
It's landscape. The blur of conquerors.
It is. Wow.
It's just...
It's so good.
It's so good.
And at one point, Grease is I'm going to cook steak. And Marin's just Grease, I take my steak rare.
Well, she says she's going to cloak the ship. And he's what does that mean? She's oh, a lot of rituals, a sacrifice, your arm would do. And he looks horrified. And she's oh my God, don't take things so seriously. I love her. I love her. It's just amazing. Okay, but another great relationship. Probably the best friends ever. Cal and BD-1, right?
Cal and BD-1 are Poe and BB-8 on steroids.
Yes. BD-1 is the cutest droid.
BD-1 is my favorite droid.
Yeah.
So I've always loved droids, but I've had a hard time choosing who my favorite droid is, because they're all great and one doesn't stand out among the rest. But BD-1 is the one that stands above all the rest.
He's very, I think you could argue that a lot of smaller droids like BB-8, even the little bits that we've seen of Dio, droids like that are kind of dog-like.
Or cat-like, the BD-1, chopper.
Or cat-like, yeah. BD-1 is especially animal-like, because he's got little legs, and the way he holds his foot when it gets injured, oh my God.
So BD-1 is that little dog who thinks he's a big dog.
Yes.
And he will start fights with things way bigger than him.
Yes. He is so freaking cute. And, the way that Cal and BD-1 meet. And, even Cal says this. He's like, I've been alone for so long, and you've been alone for so long. Maybe we could be friends. We don't have to be alone anymore. It's the cutest thing.
And then near the end of the game, Cal says, BD-1, thanks for being my friend. And I lost it. I completely lost it.
Well, and it's, more than that. So... A big part of this game, kind of what you're doing, the reason you're going to all these planets, is that you are trying to unlock this vault on a planet called, I already forgot what the name of the planet, Bogano. You're trying to unlock this vault on a planet named Bogano that was left there by this civilization of force users called the Zepho. They mysteriously disappeared. And a man left behind BD-1 with, like, the clues to help you find the way.
It wasn't just any man, though. It was Sears' master.
Sears' master, yes. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was very, like, eclectic and, like, weird and, like, really into all of this. But, like, BD-1 has, like, all of this information. And BD-1, when encountered with the person that they believe would be the one to solve it, would activate and help them. So, yeah. Like, he deemed Cal worthy to, like, do all of this. Like, oh, it's just so,
like, cute. BD-1 chose Cal.
Yeah, he chose Cal. Much like a lightsaber crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And even more than that, like, in order to even have all of this information, BD-1 had to have his memory erased. So he loses all of his memories before he's even met Cal, but it was all because he knew that one day somebody would come that would need their help.
And so as BD-1's, like, kind of, like, coming back into himself, so is Cal. Like, they're both going on this journey of remembering the past and moving forward.
Yeah, they're, like, really in this together. Like, I feel like it's a softer version of, like, maybe Cassian and K2, because Cassian and, yeah, K2 are very much like a duo, and I think Cal and BD-1 is as well, but, like, you get to see their origin, and it's just so soft and baby.
And both of them are so much more baby than Cassian.
Oh, they're so baby. K2. Star Wars is only about babies, okay? Baby boys everywhere. I think the last big thing in this is that, you know, Cal's, like, really going on this journey of, like, self-discovery and coming back out of the horror of his past and, like, really, mm-hmm, like, coming to terms with it and moving on. And part of that is that he becomes a full Jedi. Like, he becomes a fully realized Jedi.
Seer knights him.
Seer knights him.
I was crying.
Yeah. It's very, very meaningful, especially, like, knowing Seer's backstory and, like, knowing what happened to her previous Padawan and, like, knowing everything that Cal has gone through. Like, to, yeah, have this moment is everything. And, like, on top of that, like, yeah, he's been using his old master's lightsaber, but in this, you get to go to Ilum and get your own crystal and build your own saber.
I was sobbing during that scene too.
Yeah. Oh, I knew, like, you would be.
He was, like, crawling towards his kyber crystal because he had fallen in ice cold water and he was, like, on the verge of death when he got this kyber crystal.
Yeah.
And I was just so emotional over my son.
Well, and, like, here's the thing too, and, like, this is really big for Nine. He gets his crystal and it cracks in half in his hand.
Yeah, and he's, but, like, he's, oh no, still, all hope is lost.
Yeah, all hope is,
like,
lost.
He's like, all hope is lost, my crystal broke. But, like, it broke on purpose.
Yeah,
he got it to broke make,
on purpose.
He got to make a double-bladed lightsaber like his master's, but his actually breaks apart,
yeah,
into two single lightsabers. So I'm assuming it's, like, some magnets are involved and everything, but I really like that.
I really, awesome, think that's what's going to happen at 9. Yeah. I really think that Rey's going to have the same type of saber. Which, to be perfectly honest, you know, like, the double-bladed saber that we see with Dark Rey is two sabers. They're just, yeah, like, connected by, like, a hinge.
Yeah.
So, like, that could even be the same kind of thing. And, like, we only ever see her with one saber, but it's entirely possible they're just hiding this other saber from us.
Yeah. Maybe. The other thing that's interesting is that Seer knights Cal with her, like, Trilla's Inquisitor saber.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, so, like, that's, like, so redeeming, like, this thing that is so representative of, like, all, yeah, of the trauma. But Cal touches the saber. So Cal has that ability as well, where he can, like, touch things and see echoes. And when he touches this saber and he sees everything that happened to Trilla. Like, man.
I was not expecting it, and I was not ready for that moment.
No.
Too emotional.
So emotional. Like, that's something that's interesting that they, you know, they brought that up in this game and in Force Collector, that, like, objects have a memory. And it just makes me wonder, like, what would you see if you had this ability and you held the Crossguard saber, Ben's broken saber?
A lot of suffering. A lot of just, like, isolation.
I mean, the fact that, like,
we see with Trilla.
Yeah. Well, and, like, his whole saber, you know, like, it's cracked because it doesn't want to yield to that darkness. And it's so, like, that's what he is. And, like, seeing that story, oh, man, like, that's just insane.
And Ben fought so hard against this fall, and I get the feeling that Trilla was the same, that she fought until she couldn't anymore.
Yeah, she fought until she literally couldn't anymore. Like, they completely twisted her into what she is. And there's a whole planet where, like, that's what they do to Force users. They twist you and corrupt you into an Inquisitor and then send you out to hunt down your kind. Like, that's insane.
And that's where the game ends on that. You actually have to swim underwater into the fortress to get in, which was really interesting. I think that it was, like, kind of symbolic of
the descent.
It was right after, I was going to say, it happens right after he gets knighted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, really, like, Cal, his comment to himself at this moment.
Yeah, it's very meaningful. And I just, I really love that, like, the kind of, like, the two people on his shoulder kind of guiding him in this are both women, because it's Seer and Trilla. And it's just, it's really, really beautiful. And, like, by the end of this, so, like, this whole game is Cal trying to find his purpose again. And what was in this vault was a holocron with a list of Force-sensitive children. And Seer wants it because she thinks that if they rebuild the Jedi Order, they can take down the Empire. And what Cal comes to understand is that you're putting all of these kids in danger. Like,
well, this... Trilla puts that idea in his head.
Yeah. Yeah, like, by...
Remember, Trilla, it was Marin. Marin said something. Marin was like, you sure you want to find this thing?
Yeah, because the very... I think Trilla says something along those lines, too, because it's, like, the very idea of, like, if they start looking for these people, they are basically allowing Inquisitors to also start hunting these people.
Yeah.
Even if the Inquisitors, like, didn't get it in the end,
yeah,
they would still know to go look for them because they're hunting them down, too.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like with The Mandalorian, all those bounty hunters all had fobs for this one kid. It would be just like that.
It would be. And so Cal, like, does this amazing thing, and he destroys that holocron. And he's like, their fate is not ours to shape.
Yeah, and that's how the game ends.
Like, it's...
So,
wow.
My last question for this game, for this episode, is where is the crew of the Mantis now?
Yeah, what happens? We don't know how old any of these characters are.
I was going to say, we didn't get an epilogue like Rebels, because it really is, mm-hmm. it's a lot like that. But we did get an epilogue to Battlefront 2 later on. So do we think we're going to get that?
Yeah, because I have a lot of questions for, like, if they, like, where are they in the rebellion? You know? Because, like, these are three Force users. Like, I mean,
you know, it's already, like, helped the rebellion a little bit when they go to Kashyyyk and they help Saw. Personally, I think that Marin and actually all of them would have gone back to Kashyyyk and helped the partisans that were left there, because Saw kind of up and left Kashyyyk when he left, when he thought that, oh, like, the war is lost on this planet, there is no help, I'm going to go to another planet that I think actually has a chance. So he left a bunch of partisans, and there was, like, a falling out between him and some of the other partisans, and I think Cal would go back there and help Kashyyyk.
So, like, basically they become a rebel cell. Just like Rebels.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And it's just, it just begs the question, like, where are they, like, in Rebels time?
True.
Like,
what happens to that?
Yeah, like, do they fight in, like, the Battle of Endor? Like, I don't even know. It's just, it's very interesting.
Because here's the thing, because you would think that if there was another Force user, they would get in touch. Like, Luke's looking to find knowledge about the Jedi, right? That they would get in touch. But we know Ezra is nowhere to be seen, so what happens to Cal?
Exactly. Yeah, what happened to Cal? And I think that they might eventually go back to Dathomir, or at least Maren might want to, and maybe they run into some trouble with Maul. Because obviously they're not mentioned in, like, Solo time when Maul is on Dathomir.
Meet me on Dathomir. So Maren's not there when that happens? Or is she?
I mean, is she? Like, I
don't know. So basically what you're saying is that if we ever get, like, a Dathomir TV show with Maul and Kira, that Maren and Cal could be in it.
I mean, she's the last Night Sister.
And, like, those actors, like, they look like their roles. Like, they can be in TV.
Yeah. Or, like, even, like, if we got it in a novel, like, I need to know what happened there. Oh, like, this is why when people say, like, they're like, abandoning the fandom after Tross. Like, you're crazy. No Look sense. At all these story threads that we could get.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're, like, setting up so many things that they could do.
Fallen Order is so good. Oh my gosh, like, Kira and Cal meeting.
Honestly.
Did they be around the same age?
I don't.
No.
That's what we were trying to figure out. Yeah, he'd be older because he's. How old was Han? Han was like a kid.
In the game?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a little bit younger than Han.
No, he's older than Han.
Like 2 years?
He's older than Han. But younger than Ahsoka, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think we figured a year or two older than Han.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, if you go onto Wikipedia, it doesn't list any dates or ages for any of these characters. So I have no idea if that's ever going to be revealed. But so that does mean that, like, you know,
his age gap to Kira wouldn't be that big then.
No, I don't think so.
And I think that the, like, I mean, Emilia Clarke looks so much younger than she is. And, like, Cam Monaghan is, like, 26. Like, he's young.
What if Maren makes Kira a Night Sister?
Can you just do that? Can you?
Is that a thing that can happen? Is that a thing that could happen? Because I would like that to happen. Yeah, so I have so many questions. I don't know.
Kira can bring all her fashion to Dathomir.
Yes! I mean, I really love Maren's outfit.
Yeah, no, Maren has fashion, too.
Yes, they would bond so well. They'd be best friends. Like, let's just be honest.
Do you hear us?
I just, like, I don't see how they wouldn't explore some of this. I don't see how we wouldn't get books maybe detailing this. Like, there are so many possibilities after episode 9. And, like, we still don't even know what Project Luminous is, and that's gonna have to do with the Force. Like, are we going to learn about, like, is Cal in that?
I just hope Cal is alive and well, drinking enough water, getting enough vitamins.
I hope he and Maren got married and BD-1 was adopted as her child.
Yeah. That's happily ever after. But, like, Star Wars characters never get their happily ever after, so.
Well.
They never do!
Anything's possible after 9.
True.
Like, yeah, what happened to Thane and Sienna? Did they get a happily ever after? I don't know. It's great, guys. So, I mean, if you listen to this whole thing, we did, like, ruin the entire plot of the game. But it is still 100% worth watching. It's just really, really good. These characters are amazing. I can't believe that, like, this Mandalorian and Resistance Reborn are so good. Like, they're so. This is, like, some of the best Star Wars we've gotten in a long time.
I would say, like, since season 1 of Resistance ended, I don't know if we've gotten things until now that I was, like, really gung-ho about.
Yeah. Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah. Because, like, I am enjoying season 2 of Resistance, but I definitely don't think it's as good right now as it was in season 1 at the end. I think it just needs to ramp up again.
Yeah, it feels weird to me that they're spending so much time on random things, considering they only have one season left. So it's just been a little weird. But yeah, so we don't have a Twitter question for this week, mostly just because our brains are fried and there's too much content. But we do have little Bebos. Do you have a little Bebo?
It's a lot. I have a lot of little Bebos this week because everything is so good. But it's BD1, my baby.
BD1.
I know everyone's like Baby Yoda, and like Baby Yoda is also my baby. But like BD1, like, oh my God, my son.
Oh, man. Yeah, my little Bebo is also from Fallen Order, and it's that Cal calls himself trash.
Yes! He does call himself trash, and I was like, yes, my trash son, I love him.
He's like, I'm trash, but not, like, designated trash, or, like, something like that. Like, it's just great. I was like, wow, like, that just spoke to me on such a deep level. But yeah, so this is insane. We have one more episode until The Rise of Skywalker. I'm excited. I'm really excited. We will be covering, we will give you guys, like, our initial thoughts, like, fresh off of The Rise of Skywalker. We both have tickets for Thursday and Friday.
I'm going IMAX and regular.
Yeah, same. I'm really excited for that. And we will have more coherent, put-together thoughts on, like, our regular Tuesday slot as well. But don't forget to tune in next week for the most important discussion about Star Wars you will ever hear.
Yeah, stay tuned. We might have a Twitter question for that episode, and it'll be really, really important.
Yes.
It's going to be the most important question you're asked in your entire life.
It will be. It really will be. So I hope you guys are ready. And like I said at the beginning, we will take a break on Star Wars stories, but they will resume in the new year. So please still be thinking about that. Please still be sending stuff in. I still have Rey magnets, dark Rey magnets left as well. So if you want those, I will send them to you if you send us your story.
Do you have
Rose. Yeah. I was thinking about saving Rose for celebration, but we'll see. We can get more. So you never know what I'm going to send you. I have a lot of stuff, okay? And I just like to send people things. So if you send me your story, I will send you stuff. And as always, you can email us any questions. We are also still on Twitter. Not quite sure how that is going to be going. We're both very worried about leaks.
Are we going to still be on Twitter when the next episode, we'll go on to drop all the details of our episode, but we might not be as...
Yeah, we probably won't be as active, like, timeline-wise. If you need to reach us, our DMs are always open. We both get notifications for that, so you can always still DM us if you have any questions about anything. But I have been trying not to lurk quite as much on my timeline.
Yeah, especially on Fridays, I find it's bad with The Mandalorian because I don't watch until after work. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay away.
Yeah, I know that if I don't watch it, like, right when I wake up in the morning, I really just shouldn't get on Twitter at all because, yeah, everybody wants to talk about it immediately, which is fun, but I know that it is annoying for people, especially who are trying to avoid spoilers. And I will say, please do not spoil anything for us. Like, Alex had a big part of Fallen Order spoiled for her, and that was really tragic.
Yeah, and I was, like, so close to that part, too.
I know, you were, like, practically there, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
I mean, like, it didn't ruin my experience, but I would have liked to be surprised.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, tag your leaks, be careful. It's a wild time. We're so close to episode 9. Like,
Twitter's the Wild West.
It's the Wild West, guys. It's...
Find your cover. A lot of people are going into Discord. A lot of people are making Discords.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, everybody, like, that Friday after The Rise of Skywalker, like, Twitter's gonna explode again. So
even, like, Thursday night, like, when everyone gets out.
Yeah. It's gonna be crazy. I'm excited. And then after that, we get to go to Disney.
Yeah.
Excited.
So excited.
Yes. But that is going to do it for this episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. If you want to support us, we did just list a whole bunch of ways you can support us. But you can always go to network1901.com. That's where you find the links to everything that the network does. We have our Patreon. We have our TeePublic shop, where right now we've been doing a lot of Fallen Order designs, which are beautiful. And you should go and check all of them out. If you want to find us on Twitter, we are lip_lightsabers. I am at McCarter Shannon. Alex is at Alex Leonis. But that's going to do it for this episode. So we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.